Well, I am so grateful to our resident artist, Betty Gobill, for loaning me one of her paintings. It is entitled The Blue Door, and in fact, it is a painting of a blue door. So come into the pastor's study, and you will see it gracing the walls. It is quite lovely. Thanks, Betty. So doors are important. A looking glass becomes a door for Alice to enter Wonderland. A door to a wardrobe allows the Pevensey children to enter the C.S. Lewis world of Narnia. The Reformation began in the 16th century in Germany when Martin Luther nails 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church. In 1963, Governor George Wallace stood in the school door to stop African-American students from entering the University of Alabama. So doors are important. Doors of every size, shape, and color are made from every kind of material. But all doors have two functions. Doors open the way, and doors block the entrance. A door invites you in, or a door locks you out. People open doors for you, and people close doors in your face. And in our gospel lesson, the Lord both closes doors and opens doors. So doors are very important. Now, passing through many villages in his journey toward Jerusalem, someone asked Jesus this question: Lord, will only a few be saved? And it's one of those hypothetical questions that seems innocent enough, but does it reveal a kind of hidden anxiety, what scholars called salvation anxiety? Do people who ask such questions stay awake at night wondering, am I one of the chosen? Not sure why this question was asked, but it registers a kind of universal angst. Now, the way Jesus answers probably increased the anxiety of the questioner. The Lord said, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many will, but I tell you, they will not be able. Here Jesus seems to what? Shut the door and will not let many seek entrance, those who wanted to be saved. The door is narrow and will be closed to those outside who knock and insist, Lord, we ate and drank with you and we heard you teach in our streets. Well, the owner of the house disavows them, causing weeping and gnashing of teeth. So folks who thought they were first will discover they're last. Left out in the cold, the door slammed in their face. Well, this is a pretty somber warning, isn't it? Maybe I should have entitled this sermon, The Lord Closes Doors. The emphasis here is upon the doorkeeper, the master of the house, refusing entry to those who fully expected the red carpet treatment. Instead, they face a no-entry sign. So the answer to the question, Lord, will only a few be saved, would seem to be, yes, only a few. Now, you may be thinking right now, Frank, is this one of those scare sermons? Are you trying to increase our salvation anxiety in all of our hearts? Well, let me assure you of something. I am temperamentally unable of preaching anything like a hellfire and damnation sermon. And having heard hundreds of them in my youth, no, I will not pass on that abuse to you. You're welcome. Who am I to act like I know who will be the insider and the outsider? John Calvin, even with his hard doctrine of double predestination, once said that the preacher should assume everyone in the congregation is of the elect. I think that all preachers should assume the same. That's called a wideness in God's mercy. I prefer to think of Jesus the way the book of Revelation depicts him in chapter 3. This is a complementary issue of Jesus from the one we read in Luke. He stands at the door and knocks on our hearts, yearning to come in and dwell within us. the Christ who seeks our love and our fellowship, offering to open wide the doors of salvation. Christ knocks on the doors of even those lukewarm Laodiceans. He knocks on their door to revive them and to renew their faith and hope and love. His knocking calls for a response. Get up, answer the door. It is a persistent kind of knocking. Someone is knocking on our door as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me. So doors are important. But remember, some doors can only be opened from the inside. Now, in our gospel lesson, Jesus transforms that question, will only a few be saved? Instead of making the door more narrow, like the eye of a needle that a camel cannot pass through, Jesus broadens the doorway immensely. The door becomes incredibly wide, welcoming folks you would never expect. People will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. Now let's talk about the Lord opening doors. The Lord opens the door of salvation to people from every nation, every tribe, and ethnicity. People from the four corners of the globe. A worldwide invitation is extended. Come one, come all, no matter who you are, or where you're from, or what you look like, or whatever you've ever done. Now the door is wide open, and everyone is invited. Now, the book of Revelation describes the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem as made of pearl, so-called pearly gates. But it's not the kind of material that the gate is made of that's crucial. What's crucial is what Revelation 21 says. Those doors will never be shut. And through those doors, all the nations bring their tribute and their homage. The Lord opens the door to heavens to all the people of the world. These are not border walls. These are gates that will never be shut. So doors are really important. Doors can block the entrance, and doors swing open to allow people in. And like many of you, I am really concerned about how many doors seem to be closing these days. Doors closed to our institutions. Doors closed to our country. Doors closed against our fellow citizens. I am troubled by the increasing hostility and polarization in our nation. Something is amiss. And we're all especially troubled when a young man tries to get into a church and finds the doors locked, this time, thankfully. Then he dares to shoot through the stained glass windows at children in worship. Hatred that closed the doors of his heart now erupts in violence, and innocents are killed and wounded. The doors of our heart need always to be open to the love of God, open to the Christ who stands at our door, knocking persistently. Now, I'm extremely grateful when doors welcome people in, when doors gladly accept people from east and west and north and south to eat with them in the kingdom, in fellowship and in harmony. Church buildings always have had doors, and I pray that they will always be welcoming and inviting. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A warm welcome, a hand of fellowship, the cup of cool water, the passing of the peace. Here at the foot of the cross, the welcome mat must always be rolled out. And on this Labor Day weekend, I want to reiterate what I said in the witness. I'm very grateful to Beth Miller for taking me to Rio Tech, a fantastic facility for high school students in our community. Rio Tech opens the doors to many students to have a productive career in the trades. Rio Rancho has literally opened the doors to the future for these students. And I really believe that one of our callings as followers of Jesus Christ is to open the doors for others. Not just in that polite way that we hold open doors when coming and going, but in that deeper sense of making a way possible for folks who perhaps need a hand up, a little encouragement, some help along the way to get them started. Giving people opportunities to grow and mature, that is a very Christ-like gesture. As we sometimes say, give a fish for but one meal, teach them to fish for a lifetime. That's opening the door to the future. It's what you do so beautifully as you fund those scholarships for students here in this community, paving the way for them to learn and to grow. So, brothers and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ should be a beacon of light in this world, a light that illumines the path forward for other people, an open door of opportunity for those who are often ignored, a helping hand for those who really want to grow and to mature. I hope that this church will always be known in this community as the church of the open door, where if we err, we err on the side of grace. This is the door to grace and mercy, the door for welcome and for fellowship, the door of love and acceptance that can change hearts, a door into the life that is life indeed, the life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here may it always be the case that the Lord opens doors. Thanks be to God. Amen.